HarperCollins presents The Good Servant by Fern Britton, read by Carlin Stephen. Prologue. Buckingham Palace, 1949. George VI is on the throne. The king, his wife and his two daughters enjoy great popularity. Princess Elizabeth has recently been married to Prince Philip. The abdication of Edward VIII, some 12 years before, has largely been forgotten, and the banished ex-king and his controversial wife are known as the Duke and Duchess of Windsor and are living in Paris. Sir Alan Lascelles has known them all. He is every inch a courtier, 6'1", elegantly thin, with a centre parting in the exact middle of his scalp. He usually goes by the nickname Tommy. There have been many royal scandals behind the scenes which could have destroyed the crown forever, but for Tommy's careful handling and iron fist. You could say he really has been everything and done it. A decent man and a stickler for protocol whose actions are not always popular amongst the royal household. But, by God, they know they are lucky to have him. Today he is 62, a happily married man with three children, enjoying his job as private secretary to King George VI. From behind his well-ordered desk in Buckingham Palace, he is reading over two court papers that the king will want to see. It is a pleasant enough morning until his secretary, Miss Jane Pepper Thin, knocks and pops her head around the door. Tommy looks at his desk clock and smiles.
11's is already, P.T.
No, sir. I mean, yes, sir, but that's not why I'm here. His eyebrows shoot up in their quizzical way.
Well then, out with it.
Her Majesty the Queen wants to see you straight away. She says it's urgent.
Oh, yes.
I believe it's something to do with Miss Crawford and... She hesitates. A book, sir. This is news Tommy never wanted to hear and has tried to prevent in every possible way. His neatly trimmed moustache tenses in fury.
Is it by chance the book I think it is?
The Honourable Miss Pepper Thin squares her shoulders. Yes, sir. Tommy drops his fountain pen on his large desk blotter and stands up.
I told the damn woman, I damn well told her.
His brimming rage is so quiet and contained it makes it all the more terrifying.
And exactly where is Her Majesty now?
In her sitting room, sir. He buttons his jacket and straightens his tie.
Heads will roll, but it damn well won't be mine.
What happens next is the complete destruction of one loyal woman's character. Part 1. Chapter 1. Dunfermline Station, March 1932. 22-year-old Miss Marion Crawford was waiting on the platform of Dunfermline Station for the London King's Cross train. Her stepfather was waiting in the car park. Her mother was standing beside her, glancing up at the station clock.
We're in good time, at least.
Marion had heard her mother say the same thing at least twice since they had arrived. Yes, mother.
There's nothing worse than rushing for a train.
No. Look, mother, Marion sighed. There's no need for you to wait with me. Go home with Dad. It's been a long morning already, saying goodbye to all the neighbours, which, by the way, was really embarrassing.
I thought you'd like a proper send-off. It was a good turnout. Even old Mr. Turner waved from his window. Too cold for him to come out.
Too cold for everyone. Marion lifted one foot, then the other, in an effort to warm them. Please, Mother, go back to the warm car. Dad will have the engine running.
I've been colder than this and survived, her mother sniffed. I don't know why your father wouldn't come out to see you off.
Because he hates goodbyes, and so do I. Marion desperately wanted her mother to go. She needed to be alone to think. This was a big day. The biggest. She wanted to set herself straight. To think through again the enormous change that was about to happen in her life. She just wanted to get to Windsor and start the job. To find her feet.
You will write when you arrive, won't you, Marion?
No, I thought I'd let you worry until I come back. She flicked a glance at her mother before muttering, I'll only be away for a couple of months. I have told him I have to be back for my university place. Her mother's breasts gathered up under her folded arms.
And what happens if you're not back in time to start university?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?